Sergeant and Mrs. Smith, you're going to love this house.
Is that a tub in the kitchen?
There's no field manual for finding the right home. But when you do, USAA Homeowners Insurance can help protect it the right way. Restrictions apply.
What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
This is the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk on every team in the NHL.
This is the Broadway Boys Podcast through the Hockey Podcast Network, and we are back with Season 2, Episode 80. And New York Rangers hockey is finally here as the New York Rangers face off against the New York Islanders tonight at 7 p.m. So I have to ask Andy, how are you feeling and how are you doing?
Man, it's surreal. I can't believe we're here finally. The Rangers not being in the postseason last year, it made this summer seemed a bit longer for me, whereas there's been some off seasons where it's like, man, hockey just left and it's already back. But yeah, I'm rip-roaring ready to go. Obviously, the amount of turnover the Rangers have had has made things extra intriguing for the last couple of seasons, because not only were you excited to see what they would look like with the new faces, now with a new coach, which you would hope be a new style of, you know, new way of doing things, or even if the system is relatively similar, but just how it is executed. Yeah, there's a lot of intrigue around what this team is going to look like, and if the younger players are going to be able to, you know, really establish themselves in the lineup. So I'm excited for hockey to be back at the Garden tonight. If you're listening to this the morning after the game when it drops, oh yeah, man, it's very exciting. And like I had just said, I'm just really curious, because even, you know, these are preseason games. You can't put too much stock into it. It's funny just watching some of the games last night, the first couple preseason games around the league, and all the guys that are on PTOs are like lighting it up, like James Neal and Jimmy Vesey and Bobby Ryan. You know, they're all super, super hungry, obviously. So you can't put too much. It's more about seeing if lines of chemistry and if guys don't look too out of place. But obviously it's the wins and losses aren't really going to affect much, but it's just fun. It's just fun to have hockey back. And, you know, it's getting cool here in New York City, which means it's fall, which means, you know, hockey season is on our doorstep. So I'm excited.
Yeah, I'm pumped too. I think the preseason is going to be fun for the Rangers. And I think fans have a lot, you know, to look at. I mean, there's certainly a lot of spots that are going to be given to a lot of these young rookies, and, you know, these kids that are going to be playing on, you know, either for Hartford or going back to the respective leagues, you're going to see probably a lot of effort for them. You know, they want to be part of this organization. They want to be a part of this future that is currently being built. And, you know, I think if you're a Rangers fan, you know, there's a lot of stock to be had in these games where you get to see what players like, you know, I think tonight, they have, you know, a player like Cooley and Morgan Barron, and you just, you know, you kind of see what they have to offer. And I think that's a lot of fun. And, you know, we're in a really good spot where we do have, you know, kind of a lot of bodies to kind of fill out a few spots that we have in our lineup. And, you know, I'm excited, you know, just to watch them face off against the New York Islanders is always fun. Granted, our lineup is nothing you know, to write home about, and it's not the starting lineup that we'll see in October, but like I said, there's certainly things, there's narratives, there's stories to be told throughout this whole preseason. And, you know, it'll be nice to see, you know, players like Kako and Lafreniere actually experience what a true NHL, you know, preseason is, you know, playing preseason games and not kind of have, you know, this pandemic, you know, hanging over their heads. And, you know, just from the looks of it, you know, seeing what Kako and Kravtsov and Lafreniere and all these young kids that are probably going to be on the team and certainly will be on the team come October, you know, you kind of see how comfortable they are, you know, and, you know, I think there's, you know, a lot to say with those kids maturing and finding their role and, you know, believing and buying into a system that they, you know, haven't been a part of yet. And, you know, they finally have an NHL quality coach. Hopefully they're learning, you know, their systems, and hopefully, you know, they'll have a chance to kind of put it all together here in the preseason. So, you know, to say, you know, to not put all the stock in, there's certainly narratives and stories to be told for the New York Rangers this offseason and, or this preseason. And, you know, I'm just excited, you know, it's just, it's hockey and it's New York Rangers hockey. So it's, you know, really, it's been a long awaited journey, Andy, but we finally made it and here we are. So I don't know what you want to talk about first, because I feel like there's a bunch of topics. So if I throw stuff at you and I feel a little scattered brain, you could, you know, kind of reel me in, Andy. But the game tonight, I kind of want to get into the lineup. You know, you have Kreider, Zibanejad, Lafreniere, Goudreau, Hedl, Kravtsov, Hunt, Barron, the GOAT, Cooley, Rempe, Henriksen. And then on the D pairings, you have Lindgren, Fox. Is it Nemeth or Nemeth?
I think it's Nemeth.
Nemeth and Niels and Tenardi and Betetto. And then you have Georgie and Huska in net. I don't know if they'll split the game, but that's a possibility. Kreider, Zibanejad, Lafreniere. Do you think this is the line that kind of starts in October? You know, is this line one? Are we going with this right off the bat here?
Yeah, I honestly do. I think, and even though there was talk about trying different things out, and the preseason is always for experimentation, I'm actually kind of surprised the way the Rangers have tried to hit the ground running here. Whether it's in their during their camp, just scrimmaging every day, starting from the first day, just trying to get a game pace. And instead of feeling things out, I think just with the mandate and the expectations, they want to hit the ground running. And even if they have to fake it until they make it, you know what I mean? So,
right.
It clear. And just looking at this lineup, I mean, a lot of the, which kind of been speculated and talked about, this seems pretty in step with that, with, you know, Gallant had mentioned Lafreniere, one of Lafreniere or Kreider potentially moving to the right side. I mean, the good thing about Lafreniere moving to the right is that it makes him a little bit more of a shooting threat. And he's definitely more of a goal, at least I think he has more goal scoring ability in his toolkit than Kreider does, at least, you know. So I think he's definitely can produce on that side, whereas Kreider's a guy that can be consistent, but at the same time, he's usually, you know, he's consistently inconsistent sometimes. So if you want him to remain that, and not have to feel his way into yet another. I think Lafreniere could probably make that transition a little bit more seamlessly, just because his hockey IQ is higher and he can find soft spots and dangerous spots. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, obviously Goudreau, Hedl, Kravtsov. Everyone speculates that'll be the third line. Yep. And so, yeah, that's good. Yeah, and I think that's the line that's going to make or break, I think, this team this year, which is interesting to say, but I definitely think that's a line that can feast on some bottom six matchups if they can actually click. And I think Gallant had spoken about how Goudreau brings some more of a role player mentality to that line and can kind of hopes that it rubs off on Kravtsov and Hedl, who are no slouch on forechecking either, but just in terms of when they don't have the puck, playing well and heavy away from it too, which is kind of a, yeah, it's kind of, that's something that is, it takes NHL rookies a little bit longer to figure out. So, yeah. And then as far as the D pairs, I mean, Lindgren and Fox goes without saying, but Nemeth and Lundqvist, I mean, that's what everyone kind of speculated. They would be a third pairing, and, you know, Tenori and Betetto, the extra guys. So, yeah, it just seems like they have pretty much, they have in their mind what they want to see, and they're going right out with it, and they're going to see if it works. And maybe it's in less experimentation, more that this is what we want and we'll change it if it's not working. But let's see let's see what it looks like.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. It looks like he went 1-3 in terms of lines and then went, you know, 1-3 in terms of D pairing to start, you know, the preseason. And then I would imagine you'd get a line 2-4, something solidified for possibly next game. So and also probably another, the other D pairing too, also in that mix. You know, Andy, looking at, you know, I know you mentioned the Goudreau, Hedl, Kraftsoff line. If I had to ask you right now, you know, I feel like those spots are up for grabs with the bottom six. You know, I think, you know, those players are going to be fighting for that third line spot. You know, Hedl obviously is going to be penciled in there for the center role. I don't think he's going to be, there's no real threat really for him being that number three center. Jesus. Goudreau, obviously we don't know, you know, really what to expect from him. I can see him as a guy that kind of is up and down our lineup all season long, just with, you know, injuries and, you know, there's a guy that came from Tampa, has seen it all, done it all, and, you know, will be that role player that the Rangers so desperately needed these last couple seasons. And then you have Kraftsoff there. And, you know, obviously he got, you know, some minutes and played a little bit with the Rangers last year and kind of was, you know, a lot more productive than I thought he'd be, and looked a lot more comfortable than I thought he'd look. What do you expect from him this season? Because here's a kid that, you know, was a first round draft pick. He was kind of that first player. I kind of group him in that Kako and Lafreniere, but him being that first player in that group. What do you expect from Kraftsoff this season if he's playing a steady role in the third line?
Well, I hope he, you know, because I was impressed with him, how at least his defensive play and his play 5-on-5 and in transition last year. I love the fact that he was hounding down pucks with his skating because he's a very fluid and efficient skater. And he was using his speed to pressure puck carriers and stuff like that. So I like that. I definitely thought he could have had a few more chances. He said he worked on his shot this summer. And yeah, I think he clearly has top six skill. And that's what my hope is. He is a top six NHLer eventually, even if he might even be one now, but it's kind of hard to know for sure. But yeah, I mean, obviously you want your players to be well-rounded and to play well off the puck and play well defensively. But at the same time, it's, yeah, I think I would like him to kind of try to mix it up. I mean, I'm hoping that the more he puts himself in good spots, that his skill will take over. If that line can turn over more pucks, or Hedl can use his speed to help bring, and his size to bring pucks to the net, especially if Goudreau and Hedl can, you know, be more bull in the China shop type players, and that can let Kraftsoff be kind of sneaky and set himself up, or, you know, score the goals or make the big plays, you know. So yeah, I just want him to continue to do the things I saw him do last season. But yeah, I'd like him to establish himself a bit more, because like I said, I think that is a line that could definitely feast on a lot of bottom six you know, matchups around the league, because they are, at least on paper, those, you know, I think people eventually hope Hedl is second line center quality and Kraftsoff is a top six, and, you know, Goudreau is Goudreau, but he plays a heavy style and it's clearly been successful, you know, with his everywhere he's been, be it Tampa or even, you know, when he's coming from San Jose. So yeah, I mean, I just want, yeah, I just, like I said, I just want Kraftsoff to do the right things, but hopefully he gets to capitalize on more chances.
Yeah, and, you know, that third line definitely be interesting if that's how it is to start the season. Again, we spoke about this before, but Hedl really needs to step up. I would love to see Hedl, you know, and you even said Kraftsoff being a top six forward. I really want Hedl to be, you know, I want him to make the argument that he deserves to be, you know, right up there with Strome as that number two center. And obviously Zibanejad's kind of in a league of his own, just his ability to score goals in bunches and kind of be that, you know, spark plug for this New York Rangers team. But, you know, I want fans to have the argument on Twitter on whether or not Hedl or Strome should be centering the second line. Like, I really want him to step up that much. I know that's unlikely given the chemistry that Panarin and Strome have together, but I really want Hedl to make the argument for himself that he deserves, you know, top 6 minutes. And you know, that's what I expect from him. Otherwise, the kind of Hedl experiment is kind of over. You kind of know what you have for him. You know, not to say that he isn't an NHL center. He certainly is. It's just that I think the Rangers are ready for, you know, someone to step up big time, because you don't really know what you have in term for Strom. You know, is he going to be here long term? That's doubtful. So, you know, I really want him to step up. Morgan Barron, another center that's kind of, you know, drew a little attention his way over the camp, training camp. You know, I know that fourth center spot is kind of up in the air. I do you expect him to kind of be on this Ranger squad eventually, throughout the season? Or is this kid that needs another year to develop with Hartford?
No, I expect to see him. And I think at the end of the day, obviously it's nice to see the love fest that has surrounded Ryan Reeves and kind of, like he said, the swagger and teaching the young guys how to lock up and practice and all that is great. But you don't want to, I don't ultimately think he is not the quality of NHLer you want to give heavy minutes over an 82 game season. So I think at a certain times he will not be in the lineup. And even if you keep Rooney at center and put Barron on the wing, he can kind of do both. And then at least if someone gets kicked out, he can take faceoffs here and there. I think he'll definitely get some games this year. But I think at least to start the season, Gallant is going to go with Reeves. They have the familiarity and, you know, I think it's just as simple as that. And obviously if game one is versus the Washington Capitals. So there's that. So, but no, I think Barron will draw in at some point. I just think to start, obviously Blay and Rooney are most likely penciled in. So, but yeah, I think, like I said, I think Reeves definitely going to need some management or someone gets hurt. So, you know, so if that happens, I think he's the first man up.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think he's one of those guys that will stick with the squad. I think it's important for him to kind of be around, in the locker room with the guys, being in practice and kind of getting extra reps. I think it'll be really important for him. You know, even if he's killing penalties in practice, I just think, you know, all that, you know, those repetitions are going to be useful for him. For a kid who, you know, is in an organization that is desperate for to have center step up. And here's a kid that can play center. So, and especially if he can play a defensive style, I mean, that'll be tremendous. You know, the third and fourth spots are going to be up for grabs. If Strom ends up leaving New York a little early, if he's part of a trade or something, you never know. So Andy, you spoke about this and you touched it before, but you know, obviously Reeves, so far is almost a dream come true for the New York Rangers. He looks like a leader. He's talking like a leader. He's basically showing that, you know, there's nothing for this roster to fear anymore. And he's going to hold, you know, players accountable and, you know, the shit's not going to go down on his watch. I mean, I had chills reading some of the quotes that he had during his press conference. How did that make you feel? Was it warm and fuzzy inside? How it made me feel?
Yeah, I mean, again, I think Reeves ultimately, you can say it's obviously the deterrent aspect of his game, or just the fact that he makes players sit a little bit taller on the bench. But yeah, I mean, he's ultimately brought in for his off the ice impact, because I just think he's the oldest player on this team now. He, like I said, he definitely makes. He brings a good feeling to the room. He brings some pushback. He makes everyone, like I said, sit a little bit taller on the bench. And yeah, he's a funny, jovial, and well-spoken guy. His answers during interviews was great. And it's clear he has always had a soft spot for New York, and he's felt the love even before coming here, and that he's noticed that fans have like wanted him to come here. So yeah, it's just a good fit. And obviously Gallant being his former coach who really liked him, it's nice to have him here. And like you said, it does feel like a feel good story and a good way to help the Rangers turn the page. I mean, in a lot of ways, it might end up being a Brendan Smith situation where ultimately you're like, oh, you know, he did a lot of good things for this organization. And they're like, well, did he do a lot of good things on the ice? And you're like, not really, but you know, but ultimately he was a pillar for them when they needed it, you know? Or at least in terms of leadership on that team. So I think that's ultimately will be his greatest contribution to this team. Not so much. It's clearly not going to be scoring goals. And, you know, it might not even be just play on the ice. But It just, like I said, it's just he brings those intangibles with him that usually factor into winning teams and a winning pedigree and a winning mentality. So, yeah, so from that aspect, I think it's definitely, it's every, I was, everything he said and every, you know, everything he's done so far is music to my ears. You know, the video of him teaching Kravtsov how to lock yep. up and where to hold the jersey, and clearly young guys are asking him questions, coming to him, and especially because he's the only one who has had Gallant as a coach before. So clearly the players are picking his brain, being like, what's he like? Is he this or that? So yeah, I think it helps, and it all you know, the eyes and the, they look to him all of a sudden because he's got the familiarity. So, and he, yeah, like I said, he's been in the league the longest. He's the oldest player on the team. So, yeah, he's already clearly become a leader, for this Rangers squad.
Yeah. And it's, you know, it's interesting just to see how, you know, this team has kind of come together, and the mix that we have of young kids, and now we brought in some, you know, veteran players, and leadership is certainly a narrative, and you know, toughness is a narrative. You know, are they going to be, you know, we need to be more physical, we need to stick up for ourselves, you know, who's going to be the leaders in the locker room? And, you know, I kind of want to get into, you know, our captain. They announced that there's going to be a captain this year. I have no idea or an inkling on who it could be. I mean, my gut says Kreider, because I really feel like maybe the organization throwing a C on his chest will get him to kind of wake up and be a little bit more consistent and kind of look at himself in the mirror and say, like, what do I actually need to do, you know, game in and game out to lead this team? And it's not always about what you can do on the stat sheet. You know, I think a perfect line was said, you know, with Panarin about the captaincy and how he doesn't even really want it because that's not his style. That's not what makes him an effective player. I think you can argue the opposite for Kreider. I think if you slap a C on his chest, he'll kind of reel himself in, find his game, find what's effective, and play within himself, because that's kind of what he needs to do. He's not the guy that's going to score 50 goals and, you know, put up another, you know, 25 assists. I really do think that he, you know, kind of just needs to be that role player and kind of embrace that. And in fact, the points will come if he does embrace that kind of role. He doesn't need to be the goal scorer. He doesn't need to be the guy that puts, you know, buries home every single rebound on the power play. I mean, that's great and all, but we really need him just to be a physical presence, you know, play with a lot of speed, and, you know, he's a force when he wants to be. And that's what we need. We just need to be, you know, consistent. And I think that's just the narrative for the entire team is consistency. And it starts with him, starts with our top guys.
Yeah. And like I said, I believe it'll most likely be Chris Kreider. I would, if I had to even put odds on it, I would say there's probably, you know, like a 55% chance it's him, maybe a 25% chance it's Jacob Trouba, you know, and then a 20% chance it's Mika Zibanejad. And that's, yeah, I mean, I don't think Adam Fox would be named captain. He's a little too young. And yeah, I just think with the Zibanejad, with the contract thing looming, it doesn't really help his chances. Because I think they'd be afraid to slap the C on him if they felt he wasn't coming back. Although there was a rumor, I think that Vince reported, that the Rangers were discussing extension. So who knows? But,
well, I was going to ask you that. When do the, you know, the questions start to be asked? You know, on whether, you know, or not, you know, the future, you know, is a New York Rangers sweater for Mika Zibanejad.
Well, it's weird. I mean, if they make him captain, like they say, they leave it a secret until they come out on the ice for their home opener. They're going to announce, like, legitimately, like, right before the game. It's like, oh, even during the game, you know, it's like they've agreed to a multi-year extension and he's got the C on the sweater. Yeah, I mean, it's right now looking at the money, you assume he's going to, especially coming off Kaprizov playing, what, maybe 45, 47 games and getting $9 million. So, you know, Mika's getting $9 million. So it's a lot of money, but yeah, I don't know. I would definitely be pleasantly surprised if Mika was made captain, because I think it would ensure that he is coming back. I don't think he would, you know, especially if they didn't finish hashing out his contract yet. You would hope that he understands I like playing here. You know, he likes playing here. It's a winning team. It's a team that is going to be good for, they're built to be sustainably good for the next little while. You know, knock on wood, but yeah, it's one of those things where you would hope that maybe not take too much of a discount, because obviously players need to look out for themselves. But at the same time, you would hope he could at least say like, all right, I'm not going to, you know, we'll keep it at 9 million or this or that or whatever. I'm not going to really like make you pay for my past performance, you know? So, but I do think it ends up being one of Kreider or Trouba. It'll probably be Kreider. And yeah, I mean, they've been asking both most of the players about the captain, with that being kind of the elephant in the room after Gallant said that. And they've all said the same thing. It's like important for us all to lead, but it would obviously be an honor. Clearly Kreider likes, and Kreider behind the scenes does like working one-on-one with the kids. He takes a lot of them under his wings, lets them live with them in the summers, and he shows them how to work out and all that stuff. So who knows? At the end of the day, I can have my opinions, but I'm not in that room. And if there's a guy that makes them more comfortable, if they pass the hat around and they do a secret ballot and everyone gets to vote on who they want to be captain and Kreider wins, that's what they think is best for them. So, or what they want. So who am I to say, I think it should be this person, you know? Obviously as a fan, I just think it would be cool. At least I'm a Zibanejad fan, so obviously I want it to be Mika, but I'm sure there's some people that would love Kreider to get the C. So, and some people who would absolutely hate it. So, you know, you're not going to please everyone. So you just hope it's ultimately the decision is the one that galvanizes the players in the room the most. Week 3 of football is in the books, and now it's time to review the tape and get ready for week 4 with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. To kick off another action-packed week, DraftKings is giving new customers $150 instantly when they bet $1 on any football game. Head to DraftKings Sportsbook app now and place a bet of $1 on any game this week to receive $150 in free bets instantly. And if Sportsbook is not yet available in your states, DraftKings still has huge cash prizes up for grabs all season long with their daily fantasy contests. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code THPN to receive $150 in free bets when you place a $1 bet on any football game. That's promo code THPN this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older, New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania only. New customers only. Minimum $5 deposit and $1 wager required. One per customer. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER or, in Indiana, 1-800-9-WITH-IT.
Yeah, see, I don't know who, I'm torn on who I want. I mean, right now, I don't want Mika being captain if he doesn't have a contract set. So,
yeah,
it's just, it's too awkward. Because then, and then what? I feel like, do the Rangers do that to themselves prior to a negotiation? Like, you can't name a guy captain and then be like, I'm fighting for dollars. Because it's just like, you just named me captain of your team. Now you're trying to, you know, strangle me for, you know, $2 million. It's like, come on. It's awkward. I highly doubt it's Mika unless you, like you said, they announce an extension. For me personally, I've had enough with Kreider. I mean, he's got a lot to show me this year to prove that he's not this, you know, Casper the friendly ghost 50% of the time. I honestly would like to see Trouba get the C. I know it's not a sexy name to give it to. It's a guy that really hasn't been here that long. He's underperformed, certainly, but I do think it's a guy that, you know, maybe it's time for him to take the next step and be a leader. We all know that, you know, he's one of the main guys in that locker room, one of the voices in that locker room. It's so that leadership quality is already there. You know, you kind of hope that the, you know, the on ice product kind of follows suit. And I think, you know, wearing a C again makes a player reflect on, you know, what they need to do to be a true leader on this team. And like I said before, Trouba is another guy that it's not what he does on the stat line. It's him, you know, laying out a tempo hit. It's him playing that physical game and grinding in the corners and, you know, chipping the puck up and make it easier, you know, for our wingers to, you know, get out of the zone. It's, You know, it's just the little things. And hopefully, and I kind of want to get into this next, Andy, you know, buying into the system that Gallant is setting. How do you feel about Gallant with this team compared to the teams of his past? You know, it's a very youthful team. They kind of brought in a bunch of pieces that are, you know, to bring an NHL presence to this locker room. But how do you think he's handling molding and or kind of, I should say this. How do you feel about him taking over coaching the youth on this team after, you know, Quinn's tenure with the Rangers?
Yeah, I guess one of those things that it remains to be seen, because he's not, like, when David Quinn got here, he called all the guys in the summer, he flew out to see guys and whatever, canoodle with them and be friendly with them and develop a relationship. And ultimately, when he left, all the discussion was that the vets kind of tuned him out, and that the young guys had a hard time figuring out what he wanted from them, and that they would second guess themselves, and it left them in a worse spot. And clearly Kako and Lafreniere underperformed, as did Hedl in a sense. So meanwhile, Gallant's like, yeah, no, this is my first time meeting the guys. I'm just seeing him on the ice getting comfortable. But he's more of a, he strikes me kind of like AV, and then he's definitely more hands off in terms of a lot of that stuff. But it's just like, hey, you know, these are the expectations. I respect you, but obviously it's a two-way street and you got to do whatever. And I mean, that seems to have really showed. He's a fun-loving guy. Reeves said he's not the type to, if you have a loss, if you win a couple in a row and then you lose one, he's not going to bag skate you because you lost. He's not that type of guy. He's a more of a turn the page kind of guy. And like I said, he's hands off. So I guess it remains to be seen. But maybe, like I said, the young players thinking they were second guessing themselves, and then the older players who are ready to win because they know they're in the twilight of their careers all of a sudden. I think it's the perfect message for that room. I think. Or the perfect approach, I should say, in that it's going to be professional, but a little business-like, but also like, hey, listen, if you mess up, I'm not going to bench you for no reason or sit you out a couple shifts or whatever. But at the same time, you need to have a consistent effort and performance, and that's it. Totally fair. So I think everyone should benefit from it. I think Gallant's teams the past couple of seasons, whether it's his time in Florida or just his tenure with the Golden Knights, I think those teams benefited from that. Obviously, I think the challenge is both, you know, in Florida, he maybe had more of a similar situation as he was trying to get Barkov and Huber do, and actually successfully help those guys kind of become preeminent players. But meanwhile, he had a little bit of an older team of at least undervalued, but you know, journeyman players when he first got to Vegas with the expansion draft, and that they all were good role players for their teams, but just weren't kept because they weren't valued as at least good offensive players. And lo and behold, they all knew how to play NHL hockey and adhere to a system, kind of like Barry Trotz and what these older, more established vets who know systems, and they know how to play and they know what to do away from the puck, that they just, it's more of an effort thing. And if they do that, they succeed. So we'll see how that translates to the younger players, but you know, he definitely did something similar in Florida. So you would hope that it would lead them to have at least the breakouts we've hoped Kapo, Kako, and Hedl and Lafreniere we've wanted to see from them in the last couple of seasons.
Yeah, no, definitely. And I think, you know, it's weird now that we don't have Quinn anymore and we have Gallant. I just feel like more comfortable. Like I feel like there's less pressure on our younger guys to perform. Like I feel like the pressure is off. So God knows what they feel like. And I just feel like there's just a maturity amongst the group of guys in that locker room. And that's just the perception I have. And God knows if it's true, but I feel like it's come across that way. You know, I don't know if it's the branding of this team in this year and kind of like a fresh start, you know, Drury's first season, Gallant's here. You know, all the young guys, you finally feel like, you know, COVID doesn't have a full stranglehold on this league anymore, and it feels more normal. I don't know if it's all those factors playing into this, but I really do feel like there's a breath of fresh air coming with this season, with this roster. And, you know, I know a lot of people aren't the biggest fans with what the Rangers did, or they felt like the Rangers could have, you know, done a little bit better improving, you know, their grit and just NHL presence in that locker room. But I really do feel like we have a really good mix of players. And if they all buy into Gallant, we know what they're going to be capable of. And unfortunately for us, Andy, I think we set the pedestal a little, or I don't even know. You set the pedestal too low. I mean, Reeves was talking, it's a Stanley Cup or bust. You know, that's what they want to be fighting for. So, you know, I guess we'll end it here. I'll definitely have you do what you think the outlook for tonight's game will look like. But, you know, Andy, how do you feel about, you know, the mentality going into this season that it's Stanley Cup or bust?
Yeah, I'm ready for it. I'm ready for some expectations again. How many seasons now since the letter has it been? We're figuring out, especially everything they did this summer and some of the moves maybe we weren't so much keen on, like trading Buchnevich for a couple cents on the dollar just because you just are committed to not having to pay him. So, yeah, I mean, this all can't be for nothing. I think if you're going to do this, you have to see it through. And it would to walk it back and say, oh, well, no, it was always just still about getting our footing, because then you find yourself in kind of a weird limbo where I think the players on this team are good enough. And I mean, if you look at just the state of some of the other teams in the Metro, and we've spoken about this on the past couple of podcasts, whether it's the fact that Pittsburgh will be without Malkin for a couple months and Crosby is hurt and might miss a week or two, and then he's going to have to get back up to speed, and Kevin Hayes having core surgery, so Flyers are down a middle six center, and Backstrom's having hip problems or something, and Kuznetsov's coming back after they were trying to trade him, but whatever. So it's just, I just think that there is a path for the Rangers to be at least the top three team in the Metro, you know, and or even a wild card team if that's the way it falls. But I don't see any reason why they can't be on the upper end of the Metropolitan Division. So I want the expectations. I want to be disappointed if they don't hit it. Nothing, you know, nothing gambled, nothing earned, right? Or gained. I forget which one it is. But yeah, there has to be some expectations. We're all very excited, but clearly the patience of the owner had run thin. And I think the patience, if they don't this year, I think you're going to get like Toronto with like getting out of the first round. There's going to be a lot of, because I think that's the thing. If Toronto loses in the first round again, they're going to fire their coach, right?
They have to.
Yeah. And that's like, there's some teams that are just trying to make the playoffs. It's like they get in, they just can't get out of the first round. So it's like, it's funny how expectations are different for everyone, but clearly expectations are to make the postseason for this team. So they have the offensive firepower for sure. They should have the goaltending. You know, you hope the D remains good, and you just hope Gallant's coaching his system is enough to get the players to play well enough away from the puck. And Adam Fox is yet another big year, and they have it. It's within their grasp. They have the personnel. There's no doubt about it. And if it doesn't get wrong, there's gonna be a lot of finger pointing and probably a lot of moves made, or, you know, all of a sudden it's like there's something rotten in this core and who is it and all this other stuff. So I don't want to have to deal with that. It would definitely give us plenty of content in the off season to talk about, but I would much rather see what they can get in the postseason, see and take it from there and see how far they can go, you know?
Absolutely. And, you know, I think, you know, a few weeks ago, a month ago, you asked me, I was like, I don't know if it's playoffs or bust. Then a couple of weeks after that, I was like, nah, it's playoffs or bust. And now that Reeves just said it's Stanley Cup or bust, I mean, I'm all in. Like, and I think it's just the fact that, you know, the New York Rangers hockey is here. They play tonight. There's a game. I cannot wait. And I guess we can end it here, Andy. I know it's just a preseason game. I know we don't. Both teams are not going to be playing their, you know, full NHL roster, but you still have to give, you know, what do we got for a prediction here?
Oh man, Well, I mean, I didn't take a look at who the Islanders are sending. Usually, I feel like with preseason games, the home team's usually a little bit more stacked than the away team. They save their top units for when they play the preseason games at home, right? So yeah. I don't know. I'm gonna say the Rangers win, but I guess like it depends on how. And also, I believe regardless, whether a team wins or not, teams can, if they have the option to like practice, take shootout practice if they want, regardless of the score. So that might happen too. So I don't know how that affects things, but yeah, I'm going to say the Rangers win by two goals, maybe. What the final score is, I don't know. I'll say the Rangers win 3-1.
All right. Yeah. Does Laugh get one?
Yeah, actually I do. I think he gets one. I think actually no. Zibanejad's going to get one. Lafreniere's going to get the first assist on it.
Okay.
And I think Lafreniere gets a goal. I feel like Hedl's going to get a goal. And I'm going to say
Fox has got to put one in. I can
You know what? I don't know. I think I have a weird feeling Nils Lundqvist is going to get one. Or actually, I don't think Nils Lundqvist gets one. I think Nils Lundqvist is going to take a low slapper and someone's going to get a stick on it and they're going to score. But Lundqvist is going to be the one with the assist, the primary assist. So I don't know who that's going to be, but we'll see.
All right. Well, you got anything else, Andy?
Nope. Hockey's back. It's finally breezy and cool out and it's fall. And yeah, I'm just happy. It's like I said, I'm happy it's back, and we're getting very close to the start of season 3 of our podcast. And yeah, I mean, it's all it was definitely difficult filling the summer with content and speculation and all this stuff, but the puck drops tonight, so let's nothing left but to finally sit down and see what we got here.
All right.
Thank you for listening to the Broadway Boys Podcast. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Broadway Boys Pod, and please rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, SoundCloud, or thehockeypodcastnetwork.com.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network on Twitter at HockeyPodNet. New episodes every Monday and Thursday. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.